18 years old, but that's the official. The official life was when I was 18 years old, but I've always had, because of my dad being involved himself politically, when I was just a youngster of 12 or 13 years old, I began to appreciate the efforts that people in politics had to make, such as doing work with posters and different sample ballots that, as a youngster, I used to go door to door with and accompany my dad on many missions of political nature. And then when I became a young adult, I was 18 years old when I had my first experience in actively participating in a campaign, and that was a candidate for 7th Ward Council in Youngstown, and I was very much the instrument of the entire campaign. It was not a successful campaign, but with all of the odds against us, that everybody assumed that we were going to have a very poor showing, it turned out that we had a very successful showing. And my life then, I've always had that fondness of politics. I always felt that it was a very interesting sort of a life for people that had political beliefs and the tendency to go into politics actively. And then as I was working in campaigns, I was very active in the first political action committee that the United Steelworkers of America formed in Youngstown in the 1946 campaign of the District 26 Political Action Committee. I was a coordinator in that campaign, and that particular campaign we were totally involved with the election of a sheriff, and at that time the sheriff was Paul Langley, who was a steel worker, and we attempted to see what we could do with individuals that were out of the steel organization, and we were successful in that campaign. And I stayed right with politics at that time, and worked many, many campaigns that we participated in through our political action activities. And as I grew older, I was somewhat summoned myself to get involved as a candidate. And in 1959, a group of us got together, and we were all in the same age category, and they decided that I should run for 7th Ward Council. And I, with the help of this said group, I was successful, and I was elected councilman and took office January 1, 1960, and I served as a councilman in the city of Youngstown for 4 years, and I felt that I served a purpose, and I was satisfied that as a citizen and as a taxpayer, I would give up the position of council and return to being Mr. Citizen again. And I was confronted by individuals that I should seek another political office, and they imposed upon me that I should run for clerk of the Youngstown Municipal Court. And after some consideration on my part to seek a full-time public position, although the council position was also a full-time position because I put as high as 40, 42 to 45, sometimes 50 hours a week in doing my council work. But anyway, the position of clerk of the Youngstown Municipal Court was a full-time job, and he reported to work like every other public employee. And I ran for the office of clerk of courts, and I was successful in the campaign of 1963 and took office January 1, 1964. And I served two full terms as clerk of the Youngstown Municipal Court. I gave up the office of clerk of the municipal court because I was a candidate for mayor in 1975, and that was the same time that the office of clerk of the municipal court was up. So I decided to run for mayor, and I gave the position of clerk of the Youngstown Municipal Court up, and I ran an unsuccessful campaign, but it was very good and a very close campaign against an incumbent of three terms, and we had a very good experience, and I felt very confident that I would be mayor someday of Youngstown because of the fact that I ran such a very good race and a very difficult race that it was. Then I was appointed to the office of city clerk by the members of the Youngstown City Council, and I was going to make an attempt again to run for mayor in 1977, and because of the change in the party leadership, I ran into some difficulty, and I was not given the consideration by the Mahoning County Democratic Central and Executive Committee, and I therefore did not seek the office of mayor, and the mayor at that time was, the candidate at that time was J. Philip Richley, who did eventually win and become the mayor of Youngstown from 1978 to 1980. And in 1979, Mr. Richley did not seek re-election, and again, I was asked to run for mayor, and in 1979, I decided to run, and I was successful after a very hard-fought campaign by myself and several of my opponents. So I've had 1 year in office now and 3 months, and I went into office at a very difficult time because in 1979, when I was running for the office of mayor, we had things pretty well intact in Youngstown. The steel mills were working fairly decent. I mean, U.S. Steel and J&L were working fairly decent. We had all of our federal funding eligibility. We had our union problems resolved as far as municipal employees were concerned. And upon my election, I was not in the same position as the previous mayor was, because in October of 1979, everything seemed to start falling apart, and they decided to close the steel mills, and we lost our eligibility of funding from the Department of Housing and Urban Development. So it took me, once I was sworn in, it took me almost 10 months of my first year to get our eligibility back, and during that time, we lost a very, very important UDAG grant that, in my estimation, would have probably been the lifeline of development for Youngstown in the future. We lost a $3.5 million grant from the federal government to the city of Warren because Youngstown lost its eligibility under the UDAG regulations. And this was a very, very sad situation as far as I was concerned, because the city of Youngstown under the previous administration did not comply with the regulations set down by the Housing and Urban Development. So we were penalized from the Department of Housing and Urban Development because we didn't do so. And they had 11 findings against us regarding our eligibility. So it was quite a problem on my part to get the 11 findings resolved and corrected and have them give us back our total eligibility. So in the process, we did lose a few small industries that were looking for some financial assistance and help. And we were not able to sit down and talk with anybody, and this more or less kept other people away because they knew that there was no possible means of us giving them help under the UDAG eligibility regulation. And under the Urban Development Action Grants, small industry can benefit tremendously, because any monies for new development in a community such as ours, because of the fact that we were in a very distressed area, this money could have been made available very readily through UDAG. So this was a very sad experience on our part, and I could never really give a full accounting of what could have happened had we have not lost our eligibility, because I would assume that there were countless numbers of people that may have came into the valley because of the fact that we were given special priorities from the federal government regarding our conditions. And when we lost our eligibility, all of this changed, and it changed for the worse. So we really were hit hard, and my first year and 3 months has been a very difficult year and 3 months, and hoping that things will change and things will get better. But most of this, maybe the fact that I'm withstanding a lot of this pressure, can be attributed maybe from my education, military. I had the experience of attending some very highly sophisticated leadership school in the military, and most of that was teaching us the method of getting along and knowing how to handle serious situations. And I just more or less translated the military aspect of this to the civilian aspect, and was able to cope with many of the problems. And there will be many problems as long as we're in the position and the condition that we're in. I had some training at special schools at four mayors before I became mayor. I had education at Youngstown State University, and my time as clerk of the Youngstown Municipal Court, I had the opportunity to devise a program and work with people from Ohio University in putting together a court clerk's program, and it's been a very successful one, and I feel great that we were able to do something like this. But the many, many things that I've been involved with politically are more or less things that I thought about before they happened, and I anticipated a lot of things that I would be confronted with as mayor, and I have, up to this point, been on target. The steel mills closing was not something new to me, because I felt many, many years ago that the fact that there was no new investment in our steel industry here in Youngstown, we would eventually meet the day that our antiquated facilities would not be competitive to the new technology that was available through other parts of the country. And this has been probably our biggest drawback, and the reason for our shutdown is strictly the fact that we did not keep up with the new technology that was available for producing basic steel, and we had to suffer that consequence by shutting down a very old steel-making facility in an old steel-producing town. Youngstown is probably amongst the older cities in the United States that produce basic steel. So we do have a history here, and it was sad that they never put money into the steel industry to keep it competitive with some of the new plants that were being put up, not only in our country, but in foreign countries such as Japan and Germany, so probably some South American countries. And all of this had bearing on what was going to happen in Youngstown, and I knew that this was going to happen. It was inevitable because of the fact that we did not keep up. So I really had no problem coping with the shutdown problem. I said, well, it's something that was going to come, whether it would come under my administration or under a succeeding administration, that it was inevitable and it was going to come. So we're working with those problems today, and it's sad that it hit us hard at one particular time, but one should begin to realize that the steel shutdown of late was really the final blow, because they have been shutting down. I can remember when they shut the Bessemer converter down. That was one of the first basic steel processes that vanished from our city. And they were slowly shutting down facilities year after year, and nobody ever paid any attention to it until the final blow came, and then it totally wiped us out of the fact that we were producing basic steel. So this, to me, has a tremendous effect, because there are so many other industries that are dependent upon basic steel. We've lost much of our trucking industry. We've lost a lot of our railroads. And this ripple effect from basic steel had it's taken its toll on this community, and the city of Youngstown suffered heavily, because our chief revenue is our city income tax, and if we can't experience growth in our income tax every year, this has an effect on the government, because our growth was always able to take care of the cost of increase of our government. And for the last year, we did not have any growth, and therefore we were not able to keep up with the increase of the cost of government. Just like anything else, inflation has also invaded the public sector in running government. So we're paying that price now, and the price is that we're cutting back on our personnel, and our personnel provide services for the community, and we're doing as much of our services in a timely period that we would like to give it, but we are providing services nevertheless, but not as frequently as people have been accustomed to over the years. So this is a very serious matter, because this does extend outside of the city limits of Youngstown, because when people who are interested in relocating an industry and they're looking for a new location, some of the questions that are asked are those of service. What type of police, what type of fire, what type of school system? All of these are very important services that people that want to build in other locations, they ask these questions, and we're supposed to have proper answers, hopefully. And I'm hopeful that we don't go down any further than what we currently are, because this will have an effect on whether or not we're going to make a recovery move in our city. But this is one thing that I am very cognizant of, and I'm very careful to deal with it, because I think this is probably one of the most important functions of mayor today, is to see that we try to sustain and maintain the type of services that are conducive to inviting outside people to come into our community. We are very happy that we have been able to assist the Commuter Aircraft Corporation in going forward to building a new facility at the Youngstown Municipal Airport. This will probably be one of the first new industries of its kind in America since the World War II of 1941. To build an aircraft factory at the Youngstown Municipal Airport is a very encouraging idea, and hopeful that this may be the turning point of our valley and our city, because it will invite others now to come, because they express confidence in this area, and this is a better than $50 million operation, and for a company to become involved in a $50 million operation shows that there is confidence, and the fact that they built here must say something about the community. There are good things about our community. We have probably one of the best labor forces in the country, the most productive labor forces in the country. And our productivity records here in this area show that this area does have a higher productivity per man in industries that we do have currently working than in some of the other industries throughout our nation. But Youngstown's problems are going to be here for a bit, and we're going to have to work very hard and very diligently to reverse the trend, and hopefully that now with the groundbreaking ceremony that will be taking place with commuter aircraft at Youngstown Municipal Airport in a very few weeks, will give the people of this community a new confidence and a different attitude, and I hope psychologically that it does turn things around for the entire area. And the Downtown Board of Trade currently has gone into a program where they want people to brag about Youngstown, and I think now that we have this program started and the fact that commuter aircraft is becoming a reality will give the people more than just hope and fate to deal with, but it's going to give them the fact that there is something real happening here and they could be a part of it. And these are the things that I, in January of 1980, with all of the problems that we've encountered because of the loss of our federal funding, we had a development assistant to the mayor who was responsible for contacting all of the small businesses in our community, and we tried to encourage them to invest and expand the existing businesses, because most of the new business in America is not really new construction, but it's enlargement of existing businesses, and we felt that maybe this could be a way that we could try to pick up some jobs by asking the industries that were still working and still producing here to expand and add new lines. And we were successful to a certain degree. We found that the Truscon Works of Republic Steel, we assisted them in getting a large rack order from the Department of Navy through one of the prime bidders. So overall, we have been working to pick up a few jobs here and there, and they are working on a method of a revolving fund for small industries that, because we have been getting requests from small industries who employ right now at a rate of maybe 8 to 15 people that want to expand and employ maybe 35 or 40 people. And we have been getting requests from them to assist them, because the high interest rates in the banks today are not suitable for the small industries to expand, because of the rate of interest that they have to pay on a loan for $50,000 or $60,000 for their expansion purposes. So we are working on a revolving fund for small businesses to expand, and we try to give them a very low interest rate so that they can expand.
What would be the source of that revolving?
Well, we're looking at the community development block grant monies, and we're waiting for some official answer from the area manager as to whether or not this can be put to use. But it is for development, and that's what community development block grant money should provide, is development money. And that's what we feel that can be a great, great help to our existing small businesses. So we've been trying to work with small businesses in whichever way we can. If we petition the government on a national level, we also petition the government on a state level to try to give us as much business as they possibly can until we get out of this high unemployment situation that we're in. And the only way we could do that is to provide more jobs in our city alone. So we know it, we're working on it, and it's not going to be one that's going to be easy unless we're able to, as a city, provide some assistance to the small businesses that we're dealing with. If the past administrations would have somehow anticipated that the steel industry was shutting down, and the fact that there were many millions of dollars that was coming into our community from the federal government, they may have been able to set aside some of these monies to fight off the total shutdown of our steel industry, because maybe there might have been a chance that we could have probably talked with some of the industries that were shutting down and more or less tried to strengthen their position by giving them our personal help, even if it would be financial, because the revenue sharing monies that were given to us are really very loose funds, that they are monies that are totally discretionary on the part of the administration and the city council. And monies like this could maybe have saved a few jobs, but might have not saved the total steel industry, but we may have been able to save a few jobs that were tied to the steel industry. And this is probably because of the fact that the previous administrations did not have the inside information that the steel mills were closing, because if one would recall, the first shutdown by J&L or by the Likes Corporation caught everybody off guard, and nobody really figured that 5,500 was going to go so fast, but it did. And I think it was too late then for anybody to do anything, because we didn't have the money to cover whatever events would take place after the initial shutdown. And then subsequent to the 55, all kinds of things were happening, and we just lost jobs after jobs. And the only thing that could have probably saved some of that would have been if somebody would have had some foresight and put money aside to try to work with the steel people in the valley, and hopefully maybe between the two they could have maybe resolved some of the federal demands under pollution or some of the Clear Water Act requirements. But nobody seemed to have the insight, and maybe the executives themselves in positions that were running the steel mills probably didn't have this inside information. It might have come as a surprise to them also. But I think the only information that could have been of some significance was the inside information, and that was privilege, and I don't think that the political individuals were given that consideration.
Was there a mechanism in place in the two previous administrations before yours that you know of, who tried to find out whether or not industry was shutting down, or to help them grow? Or was there a specific...
Well, I didn't know of any plan that was put together to assist business in our community. I said earlier that it was only my opinion, because of my experience in the steel mill, when I witnessed day-to-day that there was no money being spent in our steel industry, I knew that the day of reckoning was going to come, because of the fact that we were not keeping up with the other steel producers throughout the world. And the only way you could stay competitive is you have to buy the new technology that's available, because you're dealing every day with that technology, and competition was so keen that only the modern technology could have made us competitive. I don't think our location geographically had that much to do with the shutdown of basic steel. I think the key factor was that we did not buy the new technology, because we had the best men in the industry working for it, and they were never given the opportunity with the new technology to stay competitive. And that's my thinking, and I don't know what the other administrations could have really have done, because it was only my opinion, and maybe they weren't concerned because they weren't as close to the steel industry more so like I was. I worked there, and I knew that there was no money being spent down there, and eventually it's like anything else. And you don't take care of your house, it's eventually going to fall apart. So this is where we're at. I don't doubt, but when things started to happen, that the mayors became very much concerned and alarmed, they would love to have loved to do something, but I don't think they had the means to do it with. It was too late.
Was there a role the city council could have played? I mean, I don't know. I'm just saying, from your position, was there anything that the council could have done, given the fact that the mayors really were in a bad situation?
Well, I think hindsight's better than foresight, and the fact that the revenue sharing money was sent to us every year, had genuine plans been put together for the revenue sharing dollars for both economic and industrial development, I think this is probably the big thing that could have taken place in our community. We could have been in a program of diversification at the same time that our basic steel was still operating. And knowing that we were just buying time, that the basic steel would eventually pull out of here because of the fact that I mentioned before, that the lack of interest in investment in the old facilities. But those monies could have been a great help had they been put together properly. And you're talking about $15 to $17 million, you're talking about an awful lot of money. So properly used, we could have been in a good program of diversifying our economy here.
Looking ahead a little bit, we'll assume that you win the November election, and what do you see ahead? What you know, would you like to see Youngstown look like at the end of your second term?
Well, I think basically we're talking about trying to revive the Central Business District. That's the main flow of blood in our community. I think we will be successful getting the railroad abandonment resolved. I think that's going to be a factor in the downtown. We're not going to be confronted with heavy bridge construction because we'll be able to go to full field grade road beds there. So that's going to save us a tremendous amount of money. And the land that's going to be available there, we could use for a great number of purposes, whether it be university or whether it be high rises or whether it be some sort of housing to bring people in the downtown section. I think this can have a great impact. We're working today with a developer on a mini convention center plus a hotel. I think once we can start generating people in the downtown area, I think things will start happening. We're not going to be able to fulfill all of the losses. It's just going to be impossible because you don't just get in a neighborhood of 11,000 jobs to come to town, you know, after all the jobs that we've lost. We should be satisfied to maybe be able to generate 30% of the 11,000. I think that we could adjust to that. I think Youngstown needs about 3,000 jobs. And I think our position would be a very stable position for the future. And this is what we're going to look at. We're going to look at trying to bring business down, regardless of what types of jobs there are. We want people to go to work. And we're going to work on smaller industries. Hopefully that we're going to be able to work something out with the present owners of the industrial property that is known as the J&L and U.S. Steel. There's currently pending in the legislature in Columbus a bill that will give the state the right to go in and buy and demolish all of the old steel mill buildings and open it up to open land and create industrial parks. I think this is a great, great idea, and I think we've talked about that. I've talked about it so many times that as long as the prime industrial property is going to be in the hands of the corporations, there's nothing that the city could do, and there's nothing that the county could do, and there's nothing that the state could do. Because if they're dealing people that want that property, you can't give and take there because they're there to make a profit. where if the city or the county owned the property or the state, there is a means because there is so much that can come from developed property. We could give a person the benefit of the property. We derive from them additional monies in taxes, and taxes supports the government. So we're not looking at a one-shot deal. We're looking at many, many years of usefulness out of that industrial development. So I think this is going to be a big help to us, because if you look around, we really don't have too much prime industrial property other than the basic steel properties that have been shut down. So I look for this to be a big boost to our diversification in our economy in our city, because we are really bogged down with an awful lot of industrial property that we don't have any say-so about. I know just for an experience, the property down at the Market Street Bridge that is owned by Republic Steel, we've had a number of people that were interested in it, but they could not come up with the money that the Republic Steel real estate department wanted to sell it for. So they moved on somewhere else. And we've had a fairly large developer that was interested in putting in a industrial complex down there. But it was not worth it for him because of the price of the land. Now, if we could give a person like this some benefit to go down there on the cost of the land, then we're talking about developing a small industrial park that would probably provide 300 or 400 jobs. And if you have 7 or 8 of those, you're talking about the 3,000 jobs that we need.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mayor.
This is an interview with Mayor George Vukovich for Youngstown State University's Oral History Department by Philip Bracey at Youngstown Hall Mayor's Office on Monday, March 30th, 1981 at 3 p.m.